a proper gem. Not so the one. It was round and unadorned, as it were one of the lesser rings, but its maker set marks upon it that the skilled, maybe, could still see and read. What those marks were, he had not said. Who now would know? The maker? And Saruman? But great though his lore may be, it must have a source. What hand save Sauron's ever held this thing ere it was lost? The hand of Isildur alone. With that thought, I forsook the chase and passed swiftly to Gondor. In former days the members of my order had been well received there, but Saruman most of all. Often he had been for long the guest of the lords of the city. Less welcome did the Lord Denethor show me then than of old, and grudgingly he permitted me to search among his hoarded scrolls and books. If indeed you look only, as you say, for records of ancient days and the beginnings of the city, read on, he said. For to me what was is less dark than what is to come, and that is my care. But unless you have more skill even than Saruman, who has studied ere long, you will find naught that is not well known to me, who am master of the lore of this city. So said Denethor, and yet there lie in his hoard many records that few now can read, even of the lore masters, for their scripts and tongues have become dark to later men. And, Boromir, there lies in Minas Tirith still, unread, I guess, by any save Saruman and myself since the king's failed, a scroll that Isildur made himself. For Isildur did not march away straight from the war in Mordor, as some have told the tale. Some in the north, maybe, Boromir broke in. All know in Gondor that he went first to Minas Anor and dwelt a while with his nephew Meneldil, instructing him, before he committed to him the rule of the South Kingdom. In that time he planted there the last sapling of the white tree in memory of his brother. But in that time also he made this scroll, said Gandalf. And that is not remembered in Gondor, it would seem, for this scroll concerns the ring, and thus wrote Isildur therein. The great ring shall go now to be an heirloom of the North Kingdom, but records of it shall be left in Gondor, where also dwell the heirs of Elendil, lest a time come when the memory of these great matters shall grow dim. And after these words, Isildur described the ring, such as he found it. It was hot when I first took it, hot as a gleed, and my hand was scorched, so that I doubt if ever again I shall be free of the pain of it. Yet even as I write it is cooled, and it seemeth to shrink, though it loseth neither its beauty nor its shape. Already the writing upon it, which at first was as clear as red flame, fadeth, and is now only barely to be read. It is fashioned in an elven script of Origion, for they have no letters in Mordor for such subtle work, but the language is unknown to me. I deem it to be a tongue of the Blackland, since it is foul and uncouth. What evil it saith I do not know, but I trace here a copy of it, lest it fade beyond recall. The ring misseth, maybe, the heat of Sauron's hand, which was black and yet burned like fire, and so Gil-galad was destroyed. And maybe were the gold made hot again, the writing would be refreshed. But for my part I will risk no hurt to this thing, of all the works of Sauron the only fair. It is precious to me, though I buy it with great pain. When I read these words, my quest was ended. For the traced writing was indeed as Isildur guessed, in the tongue of Mordor and the servants of the Tower. And what was said therein was already known. For in the day that Sauron first put on the One, Celebrimbor, maker of the three, was aware of him, and from afar he heard him speak these words, and so his evil purposes were revealed. At once I took my leave of Denethor, but even as I went northwards, messages came to me out of Lorien that Aragorn had passed that way, and that he had found the creature called Gollum. Therefore I went first to meet him and hear his tale. Into what deadly perils he had gone alone, I dared not guess. "There is little need to tell of them," said Aragorn. "If a man must needs walk in sight of the Black Gate, or tread the deadly flowers of Morgul Vale, then perils he will have. I too despaired at last, and I began my homeward journey. And then, by fortune, I came suddenly on what I sought, the marks of soft feet beside a muddy pool. But now the trail was fresh and swift, and it led not to Mordor, but away. Along the skirts of the dead marshes I followed it, and then I had him, lurking by a stagnant mere. Peering in the water as the dark eve fell, I caught him, Gollum. He was covered with green slime. He will never love me, I fear, for he bit me, and I was not gentle. Nothing more did I ever get from his mouth than the marks of his teeth. I deemed it the worst part of all my journey, the road back, watching him day and night, making him walk before me with a halter on his neck, gagged, until he was tamed by lack of drink and food, driving him ever towards Mirkwood. I brought him there at last and gave him to the elves, for we had agreed that this should be done, and I was glad to be rid of his company, for he stank. For my part, I hope never to look upon him again, but Gandalf came and endured long speech with him."
"Yes, long and weary," said Gandalf, "but not without profit. For one thing, the tale he told of his loss agreed with that which Bilbo has now told openly for the first time. But that mattered little, since I had already guessed it. But I learned then first that Gollum's ring came out of the great river nigh to the Gladden Fields. And I learned also that he had possessed it long, many lives of his small kind. The power of the ring had lengthened his years far beyond their span, but that power only the great rings wield. And if that is not proof enough, Galdor, there is the other test that I spoke of. Upon this very ring, which you have here seen held aloft, round and unadorned, the letters that Isildur reported may still be read, if one has the strength of will to set the golden thing in the fire while. That I have done, and this I have read. Ash Nazg Dulbatuluk, Ash Nazg Gimbatul, Ash Nazg Thrakatuluk, Ach Borzum Ishi Krimpatul.
The change in the wizard's voice was astounding. Suddenly it became menacing, powerful, harsh as stone. A shadow seemed to pass over the high sun, and the porch for a moment grew dark. All trembled, and the elves stopped their ears. "Never before has any voice dared to utter the words of that tongue in Imladris, Gandalf the Grey," said Elrond, as the shadow passed and the company breathed once more.
"And let us hope that none will ever speak it here again," answered Gandalf. "Nonetheless, I do not ask your pardon, Master Elrond, for if that tongue is not soon to be heard in every corner of the West, then let all put doubt aside that this thing is indeed what the wise have declared, the treasure of the enemy, fraught with all his malice, and in it lies a great part of his strength of old. Out of the black years come the words that the smiths of Eregion heard, and knew that they had been betrayed. One ring to rule them all, one ring to find them, one ring to bring them all and in the darkness bind them. Know also, my friends, that I learned more yet from Gollum. He was loath to speak, and his tale was unclear, but it is beyond all doubt that he went to Mordor, and there all that he knew was forced from him. Thus the enemy knows now that the one is found, that it was long in the Shire, and since his servants have pursued it almost to our door, he soon will know, already he may know, even as I speak, that we have it here." All sat silent for a while, until at length Boromir spoke.
"He is a small thing, you say, this Gollum, small but great in mischief. What became of him? To what doom did you put him?"
"He is in prison now, but no worse," said Aragorn.
He had suffered much. There is no doubt that he was tormented, and the fear of Sauron lies black on his heart. Still, I, for one, am glad that he is safely kept by the watchful elves of Mirkwood. His malice is great, and gives him a strength hardly to be believed in one so lean and withered. He could work much mischief still if he were free, and I do not doubt that he was allowed to leave Mordor on some evil errand.
Alas! Alas! Cried Legolas,
and in his fair elvish face there was great distress. The tidings that I was sent to bring must now be told. They are not good, but only here have I learned how evil they may seem to this company. Smeagol, who is now called Gollum, has escaped.
Escaped? Cried Aragorn. That is ill news indeed. We shall all rue it bitterly, I fear. How came the folk of Thranduil to fail in their trust?
Not through lack of watchfulness, said Legolas, but perhaps through overkindness. And we fear that the prisoner has aid from others, and that more is known of our doing than we could wish. We guarded this creature day and night, at Gandalf's bidding, much though we wearied of the task. But Gandalf bade us hope still for his cure, and we had not the heart to keep him ever in dungeons under the earth, where he would fall back into his old black thoughts.
You were less tender to me, said Gloin with a flash in his eyes, as old memories were stirred of his imprisonment in the deep places of the Elven King's halls.
Now come, said Gandalf. Pray do not interrupt, my good Gloin. That was a regrettable misunderstanding, long set right. If all the grievances that stand between elves and dwarves are to be brought up here, we may as well abandon this council.
Gloin rose and bowed, and Legolas continued. In the days of fair weather, we led Gollum through the woods, and there was a high tree standing alone far from the others which he liked to climb. Often we let him mount up to the highest branches until he felt the free wind, but we set a guard at the tree's foot. One day he refused to come down, and the guards had no mind to climb after him. He had learned the trick of clinging to boughs with his feet as well as with his hands, so they sat by the tree far into the night. It was that very night of summer, yet moonless and starless, that orcs came on us at unawares. We drove them off after some time. They were many and fierce, but they came from over the mountains and were unused to the woods. When the battle was over, we found that Gollum was gone, and his guards were slain or taken. It then seemed plain to us that the attack had been made for his rescue, and that he knew of it beforehand. How that was contrived we cannot guess, but Gollum is cunning, and the spies of the enemy are many. The dark things that were driven out in the year of the dragon's fall have returned in greater numbers, and Mirkwood is again an evil place, save where our realm is maintained. We have failed to recapture Gollum. We came on his trail among those of many orcs, and it had plunged deep into the forest, going south. But ere long it escaped our skill, and we dared not continue the hunt, for we were drawing nigh to Dol Guldur, and that is still a very evil place. We do not go that way.
Well, well, he is gone, said Gandalf. We have no time to seek for him again. He must do what he will. But he may play a part yet that neither he nor Sauron have foreseen. And now I will answer Goldor's other question. What of Saruman? What are his counsels to us in this need? This tale I must tell in full, for only Elrond has heard it, and that in brief. But it will bear on all that we must resolve. It is the last chapter in the Tale of the Ring, so far as it has yet gone. At the end of June I was in the Shire, but a cloud of anxiety was on my mind, and I rode to the southern borders of the little land, for I had a foreboding of some danger, still hidden from me, but drawing near. Their messages reached me, telling me of war and defeat in Gondor, and when I heard of the Black Shadow, a chill smote my heart. But I found nothing save a few fugitives from the south.
yet it seemed to me that on them sat a fear of which they would not speak. I turned then east and north, and journeyed along the greenway, and not far from Bree I came upon a traveller sitting on a bank beside the road, with his grazing horse beside him. It was Radagast the Brown, who at one time dwelt at Hoss Gobel, near the borders of Mirkwood. He is one of my order, but I had not seen him for many a year. "Gandalf," he cried, "I was seeking you, but I am a stranger in these parts. All I knew was that you might be found in a wild region with the uncouth name of Shire." "Your information was correct," I said, "but do not put it in that way if you meet any of the inhabitants. You are near the borders of the Shire now, and what do you want with me? It must be pressing. You were never a traveller unless driven by great need." "I have an urgent errand," he said. "My news is evil." Then he looked about him, as if the hedges might have ears. "Nazgul," he whispered, "the Nine are abroad again. They have crossed the river secretly and are moving westward. They have taken the guise of riders in black." I knew then what I had dreaded without knowing it. "The enemy must have some great need or purpose," said Radagast, "for what it is that makes him look to these distant and desolate parts, I cannot guess." "What do you mean?" said I. "I have been told wherever they go, the riders ask for news of a land called Shire." "The Shire," I said, but my heart sank, for even the wise might fear to withstand the Nine when they are gathered together under their fell chieftain. A great king and sorcerer he was of old, and now he wields a deadly fear. "Who told you, and who sent you?" I asked. "Saruman the White," answered Radagast, "and he told me to say that if you feel the need, he will help. But you must seek his aid at once, or it will be too late." And that message brought me hope, for Saruman the White is the greatest of my order. Radagast is, of course, a worthy wizard, a master of shapes and changes of hue, and he has much lore of herbs and beasts, and birds are especially his friends. But Saruman has long studied the arts of the enemy himself, and thus we have often been able to forestall him. It was by the devices of Saruman that we drove him from Dol Guldur. It might be that he had found some weapons that would drive back the Nine. "I will go to Saruman," I said. "Then you must go now," said Radagast, "for I have wasted time in looking for you, and the days are running short. I was told to find you before midsummer, and that is now here. Even if you set out from this spot, you will hardly reach him before the Nine discover the land that they seek. I myself shall turn back at once." And with that he mounted and would have ridden straight off. "Stay a moment," I said. "We shall need your help, and the help of all things that will give it. Send messages to all the beasts and birds that are your friends. Tell them to bring news of anything that bears on this matter to Saruman and Gandalf. Let messages be sent to Orthanc." "I will do that," he said, and rode off as if the Nine were after him. I could not follow him then and there. I had ridden very far already that day, and I was as weary as my horse, and I needed to consider matters. I stayed the night in Bree, and decided that I had no time to return to the Shire. Never did I make a greater mistake. However, I wrote a message to Frodo, and trusted to my friend the innkeeper to send it to him. I rode away at dawn, and I came at long last to the dwelling of Saruman. That is far south in Isengard, in the end of the Misty Mountains, not far from the Gap of Rohan. And Boromir will tell you that that is a great open vale that lies between the Misty Mountains and the northmost foothills of Ered Nimraeus, the white mountains of his home. But Isengard is a circle of sheer rocks that enclose a valley as with a wall, and in the midst of that valley is a tower of stone called Orthanc. It was not made by Saruman,
but by the men of Numenor long ago, and it is very tall and has many secrets.